And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
You know, I think your brain produces a chemical that blocks out my voice.
What?
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara Counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is God, the supernatural, and the afterlife. Each of my guests is discussing a belief system that we as humans have. My first guest embraces the idea that we're approaching immortality, and we discuss the scientific, moral, and societal implications of such a theory contained in his book, Long for This World. My next guest has survived a journey that we're all going to take, but from which few of us have returned. He died and returned to tell about his incredible experience. He offers proof of the afterlife, and I'm inclined to listen to what he says because he's a Catholic friar. We'll discuss the experience and what he and how he knows that there's an afterlife. If you want to join in the conversation, you can always call us at 639-0008. Brother Gary Joseph is the founder of Servants of the Father of Mercy, a private association serving the homeless in America in the Archdiocese of Los Angeles. Gary crossed over to the other side in September of 2005. He wakes up from the he wakes up dead in the afterlife and then comes back 30 minutes later. In his words, his family physician said, "Dude, you've been someplace where few people have ever returned from," and that's so true. Gary, welcome to the show. How are you today?
Good. Thanks for having me, Bill.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you because this is a subject that fascinates so many people. So I guess we just have to start with, tell us your story. How did you die and how did you get back?
Just briefly, I had an undiagnosed tumor in the throat thyroid area. So after about 2-3 years of no diagnosis, the doctors apologized and said, "Oh, by the way, we think you have cancer, and we found this huge tumor." So they took it out. About 4 weeks afterwards, I was healing fine. I was only in the hospital a couple days. And one night, I woke up at 1:15 in the morning kind of feeling good. I felt energetic, but I knew I had to go to sleep because I had to work the next day. So I camped out on the living room floor ready to watch TV. And all of a sudden, my heart just went into a super arrhythmia like I'd seen a lion. And it was so fast that I had no time to think of 911 or anything of that kind of sort to get help.
Wow. So it just came up on you all of a sudden, and then what happened?
So then I remember collapsing in front of the TV. The TV VCR's DVD said 1:15, and I remember seeing the TV, the time, and I remember collapsing on the floor. And I also remember the heart actually stopping. I remember it. To me, it felt like what happens if you've ever been on a train or a bus and the conductor turns everything off and everything gets quiet. It's that kind of feeling when the heart stops. Your body just goes completely quiet. It's kind of a deafening silence.
I would imagine. Now, you sensed this. Did you actually have one of those out-of-body experiences where you were maybe looking down on your own body and saying, I'm dead?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. The next thing, I actually felt all the energy go out of my hands, my feet, almost like you turn a light switch off. I felt all the energy just exit my body. And it's kind of a tingling electronic feeling. And I guess it's the way they measure heart, EKG, and all that kind of stuff. That electricity is all through us. And I felt all that leave. And the next thing I knew, I was above my body, and I could see myself collapsed on the living room floor.
Now, as above your body, looking down on your collapsed body, were you energy at that point? Did you feel the tingling sensation of being energy? Were you floating? Were you ethereal? Exactly. What was the sensation?
It feels just like what we see now. It's just that you're seeing yourself. So instead of me seeing you here in the studio, it's the identical same sensation, but you're seeing yourself.
All right, so it's a sort of a displaced feeling. Now, tell us, let's be a little bit more clinical. So there you are, you're dead on the floor, you're in your house, you're looking down on your body. How'd you get back? I mean, who'd called the doctor? How did the doctor get there? How were you resuscitated?
Yeah, right after that, I ended up in front of a gray screen. And so Servants of the Father of Mercy, we have this gray screen on our logo. The gray screen basically had this enormous presence behind it, and it took a few minutes or seconds to figure out who it was, and finally I realized that this enormous presence is God behind the screen, and the little pieces of white light breaking through, I realized he was shielding me from himself, and he began to talk to me, but not the way we talk in linear talk. He talks through absorption, so he can he can tell you about a million things in a split second, and it just soaks into your spirit.
Wow. All right, so you're absorbing all of this from God. By the way, we're talking with Brother Gary Joseph, everybody, whose book is Proof of the Afterlife. He's talking about his near-death experience. But again, it begs the question, Gary, how did you get back? I mean, at this point, you're talking to God. You're assimilating what he has to say. What brought you back to this world?
Well, I kept saying to him, glory to God in the highest, peace to his people on earth. I don't know where I came up with that, but I did. And then the next thing I knew, I went through a black tunnel after I was in his presence. It was sort of the last judgment in his presence. I felt the judgment that everyone talks about. Everyone says you'll appear before God for the judgment. So I felt like that's what happened. I was there for the judgment. Then I went through a black tunnel. Next thing I knew, I saw a light way out in the universe, and it kept coming closer. Finally, it was a brilliant white cross. Christ comes off the cross, picks me up, holds me, hugs me. It's like millions of hugs times maybe what your mother or father gave you when you're a little kid, but billions of times more hugs than that.
Mm-hmm.
And the next thing I knew, I was telling him, I want to stay here. I want to stay with you. And that's when I found myself back in my body. As I'm telling him, I want to stay here with you. I don't want to go back.
But he, in fact, put you back. Now, how long were you gone, Gary?
When I awoke back into the body, I looked up at the DVD and it said 1:45. So I was dead for exactly 30 minutes.
All right. So during that time, did anybody discover your body, call for medical help, anything else?
No. I eventually went to my family physician some days later, and he diagnosed it as an arrhythmia that's usually caused when they take out half the thyroid. He said, you know, sometimes people, as they heal, they may have an over reaction to the healing part of the thyroid that's left. So that's, but he, being an experienced physician, he said, look, I've had in the past 40 years, two or three other patients that described to me exactly what you've seen. He goes, you've been somewhere where very few people ever come back from.
To say the least. We're talking to Brother Gary Joseph, everybody. His book, Proof of the Afterlife, the conversation continues, and we're talking about his near-death experience. Gary, help me to understand some of the practicalities, the logistics of this, because you, and I'll use the word euphemistically, clocked out at 1:15 in the morning, and you were back at 1:45. However, if your body was not breathing during that half an hour period, there's usually massive trauma to the brain, and usually a person without oxygen to the brain for 7 minutes has brain damage or is legally declared dead. How did you return back to your body and be a fully functioning human after 30 minutes of being away?
Yeah, I thought about that too. There's a guy, I think his name's Don Piper. He wrote 90 Minutes in Heaven. He was actually killed in a car accident. He was clinically dead with loss of blood for about 90 minutes. And after they got him to the hospital, he began to revive. So I would imagine that these cases where somebody revives has obviously connection to some type of supernatural intervention. I don't know how else a body could revive like that scientifically.
Sort of a Lazarus or a Paul-like resurrection after death.
It has to be, yeah.
How else? Well, Gary, now you have been a place where many of us have never been before. Most of us have never been before. And you have been in the presence of God or what you believe to be God. Tell me, what is God like? I mean, describe it a little bit more fully for my listeners.
Yeah, a lot of people ask that question. It's we've never done it before, so when we die, the first encounter of experiencing God is beyond comprehension. If I could describe it, it would be similar to the overwhelming experience of, say, if we were all at Nassau Space Center and we were all on a tour of the space shuttle getting ready to launch, and we were all standing at the bottom of the space shuttle, and they said, okay, you could walk around the space shuttle for about 5 minutes, but in another 10 minutes, it's going to lift off, so we all got to get out of here, you know. And we're all standing there down by the engines looking at it, and all of a sudden somebody like accidentally pushes the button early. And so there you are. You see that brief 2 seconds of steam coming out of the engines, and then you realize that you're going to be consumed by this enormous power that you had no concept of, but you're now standing right next to it. God's presence is, in a small way, similar to that. It's that enormous.
All right, so the enormity of it is amazing. Did you experience fear? Did you experience pain? Did you experience calmness? What was it when you were in the face of God in front of that gray screen? What did you sense?
Well, I asked him, I said, can I see you? Because he had a big gray screen in front of him with little pieces of brilliant, blinding white light piercing the screen. And he emphatically said, no. He said, no, you cannot see me. And then he went on to say, if you see me, you'll be permanently dead. What he showed me was he was doing this for my sake, is that if I saw him, my body in the future could never contain or survive that vision, that one-on-one encounter.
Okay. All right. Well, now, how do you know that it was heaven and not the other place?
Heaven, obviously, you know, you're experiencing God himself. I had been, thanks be to God, I had been attending daily Mass for about 2 months prior to that. So I had some little bit of prayer going in my life that kind of made me ready for this event.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So it was heaven. Now, but you were there in the face of God, in the face of Jesus, and you got sent back. Why were you sent back? What, from the afterlife?
You know, usually these things happen for a reason of God having some kind of message that he would like for people to carry for him. And we see that in these other near-death. Betty Eady, who wrote a book some years ago, she had been dead, embraced by the light. Usually these people are sent back because they have a story to tell, And that's why we're back here.
Okay, so you're here to proselytize through your book, Proof of the Afterlife. We're talking to Brother Gary Joseph, everybody. So, Gary, describe your journey from civilian to where you are today as a friar.
Yeah, I basically, nothing of anything really interested me after the near-death experience. You often hear these kind of stories where a guy like Howard Storm in 1980s died. He was an atheist and died in a Paris hospital. The guy comes back. His wife doesn't know him anymore. She's ready to divorce him. They were very close to a divorce, from what I understand. The guy is now kind. He's considerate. He's overwhelmingly gentle. She didn't even recognize him. And eventually, these kind of strange qualities began to absorb the person. I was at school studying theology in 2005. After this, 2006. Some of the teachers and people said, you know, you're really strange after this. You're different after this. I said, if you guys think I'm strange, I have to live with myself.
Hmm. And so what sort of strangeness did you sense in yourself after this experience?
It was kind of like just an otherworldly feeling of peace that's overwhelming. People can gossip. They can complain. They could be hateful. They can trip you in the supermarket. They can, you know, shove you. Nothing ever seems to really matter anymore.
Isn't that just sort of a reverse sense of superiority over these other people?
No, it's just you're walking through life with kind of a sense of peace that you've never had before.
Hmm. All right. So paint the picture for my listeners. What was your life before you had the encounter, and then what was it after?
Yeah, so before that, I was doing business consulting for universities and airlines and hotels, and I was flying different places 2, 3, 4 times a week, jet lag, high stress. I was always trying to manipulate, control things, as most business people are. And all of a sudden, I have no interest in that at all.
None at all. All right. So that changed. And how did your interest change? Why did you decide to start the Servants of the Father of Mercy?
Well, I had a spiritual director who was trying to filter and direct me because I began to have otherworldly encounters sometimes 2, 3 times a week over the past 5 years. So he began to guide me. And one day he said, you know, if I was you, he said, I would start a community called Servants of the Father of Mercy. He just came up with the name.
Right, like that. Okay. Yeah. Well, we're talking to Brother Gary Joseph, everybody, and you just mentioned that you had a sense, you had encountered God encounters and visits from the other side of loved ones. Tell us about that.
Yeah, one of the first things that happened was about 2 or 3 weeks after the resuscitation, I was dead asleep at 4 o'clock in the morning, and I hear an enormous megaphone loudspeaker shouting in my ear a message about my dad. My dad had died in 2003. This is 2005 now when I'm recovering from all this. Mm. And the message on the megaphone speaker says to me, "Your dad is proud of you." And it shouts this so loud. And he's proud of your mom. And it's so loud, I wake up out of a dead sleep, and my dad is standing right in front of me. This was on a Wednesday night.
Wow.
It happens again on Thursday night, two nights in a row. Same scenario, same thing happens to me out of a dead sleep. A few weeks after that, I was volunteering at a homeless rescue mission in downtown L.A. Just met this lady for the first time in my life a day or two before. She comes up to me one day, the second day of work. She shouts in my office, "Jim, Jim," and she leaves. And I'm thinking, what is this? The lady knows my name is Gary. Why is she shouting "Jim" in my office? She does this two times to me. Finally, the third day of work, she pulls me aside at 8 o'clock in the morning. She says, "Come here, I got to talk to you." She goes, "I'm a mystic." And she said, "I can see spirits." And, you know, some of these people that have these gifts, they don't like to tell it very much because they'll think you're crazy, you know. So she was shy about telling me. She said, "But come here, I need to tell you something." She goes, "There's a guy, Jim, that was in your office yesterday, and I saw him twice." She goes, "Who's Jim?" Well, she had no idea of what just happened to me 2 weeks earlier. She knew none of this. I just met this lady first time in my life. And I said, "Well, my brother's Jim, and he died in 1990. My dad's Jim. He died in 2003. She said, "No, it's not your brother. It's an older man. He was an older man watching you. His name's Jim. It's your dad."
Wow, it was your father looking over you. That is incredible, and part of the many incredible stories in the book, The Proof of the Afterlife, The Conversation Continues. We've been talking to Brother Gary Joseph. Gary, if people are interested by your story, they want to learn more, or maybe learn more about the Servants of the Father of Mercy, where would you direct them to go?
You can, of course, get the book at 1-800-BOOKLOG if you want to just buy it, 800-BOOKLOG. And also, you can just get it at Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com. And also, the Servants of the Father Mercy, we have a website. It's servantsofthefather.org.
Servantsofthefather.org. Gary, great stuff. A fascinating story, a fascinating read. Thank you so much for being our special guest in studio. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thanks, Bill.